Coming up next on Daddy on Board 89, who hits their kid with a samurai sword? And where did all those 80s family sitcoms go? Plus, Bruce Jenner and your little victories. All that and more right around the corner on The Daub. Our show sponsor is Gazelle.com. Want to give you money for your used smartphone, tablet device, or other consumer electronic good. So if you're looking for fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping to unload your gadget or doohickey, you need to go over and see our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Welcome, parents experienced, inexperienced, or anything else in between, so long as they're not from Spain or Portugal. Welcome to Daddy on Board 89. I'm your host, Mike Quackenbush. I'm a parent podcaster and a professional wrestler here on The Daub. I serve up news stories relevant to the dadosphere. That's the phrase I am coining for you right now. Hey, in addition to Daddy on Board, I want to tell you real quick, you know, we've also got Mommy Beta on the Grizzly Productions podcast. That's a mommy podcast. We've also got On the Spectrum, the Autism Show, which specifically is designed for families impacted by autism. Those and all of our other great programs are at grizzlyproductions.tv. Go check them out. Now, I don't want to bury the lead here, so let's jump right into it, right? You heard me talk about a samurai sword off the top? Yeah. Let me read the Associated Press piece. This is just happened earlier today. Terrific story. Here it is. Authorities say that an upstate New York man near Utica was using a samurai sword to fight with another man, and he accidentally hit his 8-year-old in the head with the sword. Police in Utica tell local media outlets that 42-year-old Thar Kai, which is an awesome name, barged into the home where his three children were getting ready for school. He began swinging the sword at their mother's new boyfriend. Unfortunately, according to official reports, Kai missed him and instead hit his son with the samurai sword. His son was treated at the hospital for what was considered a non-life-threatening injury. The perpetrator was eventually found. He's been charged with assault, burglary, criminal contempt, and criminal possession of a weapon. I'm inferring from that means that he stole the samurai sword. So, now Kai's from the Syracuse area. So, if there are any samurais listening to this podcast in the Syracuse area that woke up maybe a day or two ago and found their sword was missing, you might want to contact local authorities to get it back. Thar Kai took it. Do you know him, maybe, from your class? He's like a yellow belt, something like that. There's another story, kind of a strange story as well, that I'll kind of lump in with this one. Fox News covered, this was also in the Associated Press earlier this week, a couple days ago. This broke a story out of Kent, Washington, about a man who fed up with noisy moviegoers behind him in a 3D showing of the film Titanic, jumped over the seats and punched somebody in the face. And that somebody turned out to be a 10-year-old boy. Yong-Hyun Kim, a 31-year-old from Kent, Washington, told the police who arrested him outside the AMC in Kent that he lost his temper because some people sitting behind him were throwing popcorn at his girlfriend and he as well. And despite him asking them to quiet down, they refused. They were also running in and out of the aisle, according to the man in question, and he had enough. He turned around, jumped over the seat, and punched someone who he thought was an adult, but, as I mentioned, was in fact a 10-year-old. The 10-year-old lost a tooth in the punch-out. He also had a bloody nose. I want to say this. Of course, this is kind of, as a parent, my reaction is, you know, like, oh, God, what if that was my son? But on the other hand, I also really think that, like, public rudeness needs a punch in the face. Well, it's very difficult for me to advocate punching a 10-year-old in the face. I do feel like, in a way, I can empathize with the perpetrator here. I too have. Now, maybe it's just, you know, I'm not a really good puncher. You know, I'm more palm or forearm, something like that. But yeah, I do empathize a little bit with the poor guy. I won't be speaking at his trial, though. So sorry about that. You're on your own, Kim. So some interesting studies. One of which went public. One of which is ongoing here. So let's talk about this first. Over at Jezebel.com. They published a piece earlier this week entitled Parenting Makes Dads Happy, But Moms Not So Much. Now, just over a week ago, there was some news out there about depressed stay-at-home moms. They're way more likely to spend time feeling sad or angry than are their employed counterparts. Now a group of psychologists are claiming that there is a psychological benefit of parenting. They say parents are happier than non-parents, according to a new press release. But this study's title is not exactly reassuring. The study that they're referencing here was called, quote, In Defense of Parenthood, Children Are Associated with More Joy Than Misery, end quote. It's a great title there. Hope government money was well spent on that. According to this study, women with children aren't necessarily happier than women who don't have kids. In fact, they're usually more depressed. And young parents, those are considered those under the age of 26, are way less happy than later 20-somethings without children, or single parents who aren't necessarily having a blast. They say married parents did not differ in satisfaction or happiness from married people that don't have children either. However, they do conclude that, generally speaking, that married male parents, those are fathers, to decode that a little bit for you, do seem to be happier than others, if only slightly. Only slightly. This is, I mean, earth-shattering information, right? The potential for slightly more happiness there. I would love to know the amount of money spent on studying this. It's just simply fascinating. And I would like to know how I could get money to conduct studies of these on my own. The Wall Street Journal, a fairly disreputable news source, over in their health and wellness section this week, published a piece about the iPad and toddlers. Now, a lot of this is ongoing, and when the iPad really arrived in the marketplace about 2 years ago, give or take, scientists were saying that before they could really understand the impact of this device on users, including young users, like from 4 to 7-year-olds, etc., it would take 3 to 5 years. So a lot of this information, you know, the studies about this are ongoing. This is not conclusive. However, there does seem to be evidence out there to show that if a child plays with an iPad, if they use that to kind of kill time or zone out or whatever, they are far more engaged than children who choose the television as, you know, their method of escape. Now, part of that, one of the keys that they think to this is because there are studies that show that when children watch television, they don't really know where to look. And in fact, because of this lack of focus, a professor of psychology at the University of Massachusetts says that on an average, 150 times per hour, a child looks away from a television screen because they become disengaged. They just don't know where to look. Conversely, with the iPad or other tablet devices like this, because where their finger goes tends to be where the action happens, they have far more focus when using that type of device. And especially when using educational apps, there seems to be a real defined impact on test scores and other things in terms of the educational value that the iPad or similar tablet devices deliver. Now, all of this is really preliminary stuff. They're still a couple years away, they think, from having really definitive research on these types of things. But nevertheless, some very interesting information, especially if, you know, your kid, like my own, really does enjoy playing with, you know, touchscreen devices like that, finds himself far more engaged. So, interesting info there. Hey, in a minute here, I'm going to dive into the blogosphere a bit. Later, I'll read your little victories. But first, have you heard about these cool cats over at Gazelle.com? Let me tell you all about them. They're our great show sponsor. Gazelle's the easy way to sell or recycle your used iPhone, iPad or iPod, your Mac, your smartphone, or other gadget from your home or office. And you can find out what it's worth in just a minute when you go over to Gazelle.com. That's GAZELLE.com. Now, why do you want to get rid of these used consumer electronics of yours? Well, maybe you want to upgrade to the next greatest gadget that's coming out. Or you want to put some money in your pocket? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, remember, just like when you drive a car off the lot, your gadgets lose value over time. So go to Gazelle.com right now to get the best possible offer for the gadget or gizmo lying about your house. It only takes a minute, and the sooner you do it, the more money your gadget is worth. And remember, this is something that's happened to me. If it turns out that the product you send in is actually in better condition than you stated, or if they're currently offering a higher price than at the time that you're quoted, Gazelle pays you the difference. They're very, very honest It's a streamlined process. You'll find them to be very trustworthy and easy to deal with. That's always been my experience with Gazelle.com, and I wouldn't be talking about them on my podcast if I didn't like them a bunch. You get paid fast. They'll put that check in the mail, put PayPal in your PayPal account, or they give you an extra 5% when you opt for an Amazon.com gift card. You can't go wrong, and the shipping is free. So head over right now and see our friends at Gazelle.com. And if they ask, tell them your pals over at the Grizzly Productions Podcasting Super Network sent you. All right, then. Well, before we dive into the blogosphere, I want to read a piece from you that U.S. News and World Report carried in their health column. It was carried some other places as well. Just about a week ago, give or take, about an alarming statistic here that the leading death, accidental death of children, according to the CDC anyway, in the summer months, is drowning. In fact, drowning kills more American children, 1 to 4 years old, than any other cause except birth defects, according to a new report from the CDC. Half of those children drown in swimming pools. Male victims are 4 times more likely than are female ones. Between 2005 and 2009, almost 4,000 people of all ages drowned nationwide each year. Now, something that's really kind of frightening to consider here is that many of them who survive this, if they're, pulled out in the nick of time, I guess, they suffer irreversible brain damage. So even being saved is no guarantee here. Now, a lot of what they talk about here, the experts, as they put this forth, at least as it relates to children, especially because it's of gravest concern, of course, to children 1 to 4 years old, as you heard there, is that parents should take great precaution to block access to swimming pools. They need to increase their vigilance, and when possible, start swimming lessons early. There's good research that swimming lessons for kids 1 to 4 year old can be life-saving. This way they can manage themselves in the rare event that they would end up in the water and survive long enough so that their parents can get them out. In many cases that involve home pools, they say that the parents are simply unaware that the child has gotten into the water. And that's why you have to have barriers, the experts say, something to slow down your child's access to the water. So important information there. A couple tips that the American Academy of Pediatrics issued in response to this. They said anyone responsible for the care of a child should learn CPR. Never leave a toy in or near a pool. Of course, never leave the child alone or near a pool unsupervised. Make sure an adult is always within arm's length of a child who is poolside. So these are all, of course, very, very good tips and useful information as the summer months are here and soon enough, especially with Memorial Day upon us. Some pools will be opening up. Community pools are set to open very, very shortly, as I think you know. Now, over in the blogosphere this week, there was a particularly funny piece, I thought. Funny, perhaps, only in that you could really feel the frustration of Matt, the author, coming through over on dadwagon.com, a great dad blog over there. He wrote a piece called Just Poop Already. And this, in particular, is about his daughter, who is resistant to going on the potty that they have. She'll go in her pants, no problem. But going on the potty is another matter altogether, and he appeals to his readership for some assistance in this issue. His daughter is 3.5-year-old. So some people did chime in with some interesting tips. So if this is something that you happen to be wrestling with in your own home, a couple recommendations from successful potty training parents are, one, try to be really attentive to the facial or body language cues of your child that they are ready to go to the potty, and make sure you get them in there before it is too late. That, of course, sounds like sound advice. One parent had mentioned that there was a particular toy, there was sort of a ritual right before they were ready to poop, and when they recognized this in their child, they knew it was time to take them right into the potty. Now, some others chimed in with some kind of peculiar, I guess you could say, rituals of their own, but all in all, if you want to check this out, by the way, head over to dadwagon.com. This one was just posted up a day or two ago. And look for that. Or chime in with your own advice for Matt, the author there, if you've had great success doing this, as certainly I would imagine many of the loyal Dob Bobbers out there are up against exactly this thing right now. Over on popular parenting blog Stroller Derby, my arch nemesis Meredith Carroll chimed in with a piece, which, to my chagrin, I actually agreed with. Meredith blogged about the lack of today's family-friendly TV shows. Meredith recalls some of the stuff that used to cause her family to gather around the TV, and very much the same was true in my house. The entire family would get together to watch programs like The Cosby Show, and that was never missed television in my house. Other programs like Family Ties, Silver Spoons, The Facts of Life. Meredith mentions Kate and Allie, which I didn't even know what that is. Full House, some of the other TGIF programs, Head of the Class, Give Me a Break, just to name a few. And Meredith laments in her blog over on Stroller Derby about where are the Cliff and Claire Huxtables of television today? In looking over the current first-run television show schedule, she couldn't come up with any that seemed like comparable programs that are available out there. And looking ahead, as the new batch of shows that are scheduled for the 2012-2013 season kind of continues this trend. She laments, where is the Tootie or Mrs. Garrett of this new generation? It seems like the programs are increasingly harder-edged or adult in their content, and that there seems little in the way of family fare. Now, a couple people who chimed in here did point out that programs like Modern Family, which is a very funny show that's out there, or Parenthood are acceptable in this realm. But a lot of people said, and I think this is true as well, that, you know, especially due to things like Netflix or other media outlets that are available out there now, all of those programs that she talked about in the beginning of her article are really available. Like, you could watch every episode of Family Ties if you wanted to. I know they released several box sets of The Cosby Show, and they made like a million of those. That show was on the air forever. So the oldies but goodies are out there. And of course, they'll have those awesome 80s soundtracks. And some have laugh tracks over top, as tasteless as that might be. Oh, how it pains me when I go back and watch those Sledgehammer reruns with the laugh tracks. Good grief. But yeah, I thought that was worth talking about. That was never missed television for my family as I was growing up, and it is a rare thing when Meredith Carroll has anything to say that I agree with. A blogger for the Wall Street Journal posted up a piece about arguments with her own husband. Katie McLaughlin, is the name of this blogger, if I didn't say that. Katie McLaughlin and her husband, Alejandro, who is a native of Uruguay, oftentimes argue over indulging their children with too many gifts. And I thought this was very interesting. Certainly, my son, Elliot, is never at a loss for toys to play with. It seems as if our house is virtually overrun with them. They seem to creep into every corner and room of the house. And Katie talks about the fact that she grew up really wanting for nothing. She had a somewhat privileged childhood, whereas her husband Alejandro, who is from Uruguay, was really on the opposite end of the spectrum. Part of this, and I did not know this, is that because of whatever, I don't know if it's cost of living or import cost, that simple toys in Uruguay cost roughly 10 times the equivalent of what they would cost here in the United States. And for that reason, most of the toys that he had were invented ones. He would ball up all of the tube socks in his room to make them into a soccer ball, so on and so forth. So, of course, it can be quite difficult, I think, at times to know, because there is a tendency in all of us to want to spoil our children a little bit. But certainly there is a logic to, since there's certainly no shortage of holidays throughout the year, and when you add in whatever other types of occasions you might celebrate, be them as something as large as a birthday, or even, you know, minor achievements in your child's development, there's certainly plenty of cause out there to shower them with gifts. And it's an interesting piece. If you want to check this out, this is over on WSJ.com. The fine line between indulging kids and giving them gifts, from Katie McLaughlin, is posted up over there. I would certainly like to hear where you weigh in on this topic. So if you want to tweet me about that, I'm at The Daddy on Board. Drop it off on our Facebook fan page or over on Google+, and we'll find it there. That's also where we get your little victories from, which I'm going to read in a moment. Though I do want to talk about this. One more blog that I came across in this past week, which was posted up over on deadcentric.com. A really strange piece, I thought, about Esquire magazine naming Bruce Jenner Father of the Year. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Bruce Jenner other than I remember when he was, like, on a cereal box because he did well at an Olympics a long time ago. I also know him because he's kind of like a bit player, right? At best, I guess, on the always discussed Kardashian reality show. Like, I always see these in these like teaser ads, like why you should watch the Kardashians. Like, he always kind of looks like a hapless dolt in the background, for lack of a better way to put it. But Esquire decided that he was Father of the Year, and it's a really peculiar piece that they wrote about him here. I've got a couple quotes from it. They really do kind of justify this by saying that Jenner is a man who's simply given up, but isn't bitter about it. The article's author, Chris Jones, writes, on the show, Jenner can seem emasculated, as though his testicles are in a jar somewhere, along with the rest of his former presence, this once proud man drowning in a sea of estrogen and petty humiliations. He can seem that way because that's essentially what he is, end quote. In other words, they're saying Jenner has just become truly selfless. He's given up on any form of competition. There's no ego in him whatsoever. He's really content, at least as the program portrays him, to do nothing other than cart his two youngest girls around. Those are the ones that are biologically his. And playing with his remote control helicopters. And yet somehow, all the women in his house speak of him very warmly. They describe him as being a strong parental figure. And they refer to him as the family's moral center. Although this article certainly seems to paint Jenner as simply being checked out, you know, they really did their best to make it sound like he is the ultimate in selfless parenting. Now, I don't know if I buy into that. I don't know if you do either. If you want to check that out, it is up on their website. You don't have to buy the magazine. Who buys magazines anymore? Go over to Esquire.com. Bruce Jenner, Father of the Year, they say, if you can believe that. hey, in a moment, I want to tell you what little victories were sent in to me, all right? But before we get to that, I've got a vacation coming up. Maybe you do, or maybe you're planning some other road trip with your family. Well, this is a great time to find out more about the Cobra Eye Radar System. Go over to Cobra, the letter I, radar.com to find out more about the most advanced smart detection system in the world. This thing is going to make you a more alert and safer driver, whether you're traveling with a family or you're traveling by yourself. This incredible system, award-winning, cutting-edge, it is at the forefront of the industry, and it really has been since they rolled it out in 2010. Our friends over at Cobra have just reason to be really proud of the iRadar system, which gives you up-to-date driving hazard information, not just red light camera, not just radar or laser detection type stuff, but all types of driving hazards. And that's because of the amazing Aura driving hazard database that they have at their disposal. It gets updated twice daily, so you're getting only the most current information through that completely customizable dashboard in the free app you put on your smartphone. Find out about this amazing system they put together by watching the free demo video over at CobraIRadar.com and tell them your friends from Grizzly Productions sent you. You'll be glad you checked it out. All right, as promised, I'm going to read your little victories. Just before I get to that, though, loyal Dab Bobbers, I want to tell you very quickly that if you've been looking for a type of professional wrestling that you can enjoy with your whole family without worrying about being embarrassed in front of your little ones or feeling like an idiot for watching it, I implore you to check out my home in the world of wrestling, that is Chikara. Go to chikarapro.com, find out everything about our impending massive summer spectacular. Saturday night, June 2nd, we deliver Chikarasaurus Rex live at the Trocadero Theater in Philadelphia. If you can't be there to see it in person, you can watch it because it will be streamed out live worldwide through the magic of GFL.TV. Watch it on your computer, on your TV, through your Roku box, or on your mobile device, etc., etc. All the information about the 7 mega matches and everything else that makes up Chikarasaurus Rex awaits you at ChikaraPro.com. And we'll thank you for stopping by. And now, I have called from over on the Facebooking some little victories that I would like to read to you now. Thanks to everybody who sent them in. By the way, you can put them other places as well, whether you drop by our Facebook fan page or Google+. You can at tweet the daddy on board, and we will get them. Raul Colon, loyal Dab Bobber, if ever there was one, sent this one in. My 16-month-old daughter has been playing the wood puzzle app Mommy Beta recommended. She finally started doing most of the puzzles on her own. That is very good, and congratulations, Raul. Anne Eldridge writes to me. She says, I have 4 children who each has a job and mortgage. Victory! That's more than a little victory, Anne. That's like a bigger bigger scale victory. Elizabeth Golden Madison, whose name I'm fairly certain I didn't botch, writes to me on Facebook, "My daughter has triplets, three girls. Talk about hectic." Is that a little victory for you? Because now you get to sit back and laugh. Yeah, thank goodness those aren't my triplets. I understand, Elizabeth. Lastly, but not leastly, which probably isn't a word, Marie says, "My son is 8 years old, knows how to handle a bully at school." You ask how? With the word of God. That's victory. All right, Marie, you're going to have to send me more information about that. This is too vague. I need more of your information. Send it to me. Facebook, Twitter, Google+, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Be back here next week. I will most likely deliver to you a program that will then be titled Daddy on Board 90. Until then, adios, mis amigos.